Blog Talk Radio.
Chapter 2, Depending Solely on God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 5. But above all, he, George Fox, excelled in prayer. The inwardness and weight of his spirit, the reverence and solemnity of his address and behavior, and the fewness and fullness of his words have often struck even strangers with admiration and reached others with consolation. The most amazing, living, reverent frame I ever felt or beheld, I must say, was his prayer. And truly, it was a testimony that he knew and lived nearer to the Lord than other men, for they that know him most will see most reason to approach him with reverence and fear. William Penn on George Fox. Even a slight perversion can cause the sweetest graces to bear the bitterest fruit. Scripture. Know ye not that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 7. The sun gives life, but sunstrokes bring death. Preaching is to give life. It may lock as well as unlock. Preaching is God's great institution for the planting and maturing of spiritual life. When properly executed, its benefits are untold. When wrongly executed, no evil can exceed its damaging results. It is an easy matter to destroy the flock or ruin the pasture if the shepherd is not attentive. It is easy to capture the citadel or poison the food and water if the watchmen are asleep. As the preacher is invested with such gracious opportunities and exposed to so great evils involving many important responsibilities, it would be a parody on the shrewdness of the devil and defamation on his character and reputation if he did not bring his master influences to contaminate the preacher and the preaching. In light of this, Paul's exclamation, "Who is sufficient for these things?" is never out of order. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16. Paul says, "Our sufficiency is of God, who also has made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life." 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 5 through 6. The true ministry is God-touched, God-enabled, and God-made. The Spirit of God anoints the preacher with power, and the fruit of the Spirit grows in his heart. The Spirit stimulates the man and empowers the word, so his preaching gives life as the spring gives life. It gives life as the resurrection gives life. It gives vital life as the summer gives vital life. And it gives fruitful life as the autumn gives fruitful life. The life-giving preacher is a man of God whose heart is always thirsty for God, whose soul is always following God, and whose eye is only on God. By the power of God's Spirit, the flesh and the world have been crucified in this man, and his ministry is like the generous flood of a life-giving river. Scripture, "For those that are of the Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts." Galatians chapter 5, verse 24. The preaching that kills is not spiritual preaching, for the ability of the preaching is not from God. Lower sources than God have given it energy and stimulant. The Spirit is not evident in the preacher or in his preaching. Many kinds of forces may be projected and stimulated by preaching that kills, but they are not spiritual forces. They may resemble spiritual forces, but they are only the shadow or the counterfeit. They may seem to have life, but the life is only an enticement. The preaching that kills is still the letter, the dry, husky letter, or the empty, bald shell. The letter may have the germ of life in it, but it has no breath of spring to revive it. They are winter seeds, as hard as the winter's soil and as icy as the winter's air, which do not thaw or germinate. This legalistic preaching has the truth, but even divine truth has no life-giving energy by itself. It must be energized by the Spirit with all God's forces at its back. Scripture. Now we are free from the law of death in which we were held, that we might serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Romans chapter 7, verse 6. Truth that is not made alive by God's Spirit deadens as much as or more than error. It may be the pure truth, but without the Spirit, its shade and touch are deadly. Its truth becomes error, and its light darkness. The letter preaching is without anointing, neither mellowed nor oiled by the Spirit. There may be tears, but tears may only be summer's breath on a snow-covered iceberg, nothing but surface slush. Feelings and earnestness may be present, but they might be the emotion of the actor and the earnestness of the attorney. From the kindling of his own sparks, the preacher may be eloquent over his own exegesis and earnest in delivering the product of his own brain. The professor may seize the moment and imitate the fire of the apostle. Brains and nerves may serve the place and feign the work of God's Spirit, and by these forces, the letter may glow and sparkle like an illuminated text, but this glow and sparkle will be as barren of life as the field sown with pearls. The death-dealing element lies behind the words, the sermon, the occasion, the manner, and the actions. The great hindrance is in the preacher himself. He does not have the mighty life-creating forces. There may be no discounting his orthodoxy, honesty, cleanness, or earnestness. But somehow the man, the inner man, in his secret places has never broken down and surrendered to God. His inner life is not a great highway for the transmission of God's message and God's power. Somehow, self and not God rules in the Holy of Holies, but the Spirit is he that gives life. The flesh profits nothing. John chapter 6, verse 63. Somewhere, unconscious to the man, some spiritual non-conductor has touched his inner being, and the divine current has been arrested. His inner being has never felt its thorough spiritual bankruptcy, its utter powerlessness. He has never learned to cry out with an indescribable cry of self-despair and helplessness until God's power and God's fire come in and fill, purify, and empower. Self-esteem and self-ability in some pernicious shape have defamed and violated the temple, which should be held sacred for God. Life-giving preaching costs the preacher much: death to himself, crucifixion to the world, and agony of his own soul. Crucified preaching only can give life. Crucified preaching can come only from a crucified man. Scripture. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20.